So we're back. Now we noticed and learned that the fall of humanity was deep, piercing, complete.
Right.
It affected their brains, our brains. And Jesus Christ is the only hope. And we see then in the whole story of redemption that without Jesus Christ in the world, in the basic nature of humanity, things probably got pretty crazy. And we notice that the Bible does not hide away the truth, even when it comes to like Bible characters and patriarchs.
Right.
You see that there's an honesty by which the Bible sees this and the perspective toward it, as it does not relate to the Genesis 2 perspective, even though it's unclear what to necessarily do about it or fix it. And as ministers, you will come in contact with people who know some stories in the Old Testament, and if you need to be aware of how to talk about these stories and what these stories mean, because somebody, and we both experienced this, where people go like, well, did you know that, you know, Abraham, and you know, we're going to go in all these passages now.
Right, right.
So for the purposes of ministry, let's just do a survey and talk about the dealing with the fallen sexuality in the Old Testament, and then we'll go into the New Testament, because these are all pieces to know as ministers,
yes,
and in ministry, or as an active Christian who wants to witness to your friends. So here, let's begin our journey.
Okay. Polygamy. In already Genesis 4 verse 19, Lamech, one of Cain's descendants, married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah.
So what's interesting about this is you can see like that North Star of a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So you see that the design is that you'd be married to one person.
Right.
And that would be what it is. And then we see already the chapter after the fall that Lamech has two wives.
Right.
And the story of Lamech is interesting. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but it's this really story of power and intrigue, and his children are all these like super humans, you know. His daughter's Adah, which means beauty, so you see the world is, you see like, you see Jubal, and he's into entertainment, and all musical instruments are, you know, from him. We see, and then you see, let's see, there's some other ones.
Tubal Cain,
you know, industry. You know, you have all of these things. And in the early culture, they lived long periods of time, and they also had the pre-fallen piece of us, the reasoning. They had desire to, you know, do things, but they also had the desire to be powerful and in control.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it became, you know, you know, power, pleasure, all mixed. You know, there was a movie called In Time a while ago that came out, and it said like you could buy extra time, and so the very powerful would buy all this time, and all these people who didn't have the time only lived, you know, like 30 years, but the people who are the powerful lived hundreds of years. But then the most powerful becomes so powerful they become corrupt. And that was just a Hollywood movie of like 10 years ago, and I thought that was kind of an interesting way to look at that. But well, we can see that maybe.
Yeah, evil power and pleasure. In Genesis 6, verses 4 through 6, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And we go on in that passage, and God starts over with Noah then.
Yeah. You know, I looked through that, Pam, and each of those Hebrew words, because, you know, Nephilim and, you know, all of that. And
right.
And it really came down to, what are you doing in the bushes? I mean, it became where the thought, control, abuse, sexual pleasure, and what was happening to humanity is unimaginable by, even by today's standards. And to the point where God himself is grieved that he even started the whole enterprise.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, in some ways then, you know, I am not surprised how evil our world is.
Right. Yeah.
And how, and now we know later that God shortens the length of days.
Right.
And think of some of these political leaders, and we don't get into politics around here, but you can just imagine if, you know, some successful political leader lived 300, 400, 500 years.
Right. Yeah.
And how
they in power a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And what could that become? Mm-hmm. So it's gracious. We read the Bible, and we won't get into that today. But God shortens all the days, and for our benefit.
Yes.
You know, we need, again, this is all before Jesus Christ comes, but that tendency, the fallen tendency, remains in everybody.
Yes.
Even now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what other passages in the Bible talk about.
All right. Homosexual abuse. Genesis 19, verse 5. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." And these were the men of the city.
Okay.
And then Judges 19, verse 22. While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house, pounding on the door. They shouted to the old man who owned the house, "Bring out the man who came to your house so we can have sex with him."
Okay. So in both those cases, those are cases of homosexual abuse.
Right.
You know, where you have, in the first case, it's really the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And so to say that the marriage understanding, even in the creational understanding of Sodom, was going away, where sexual relationships, you know, because for many generations, marriage right away became an institution, and then it's remained an institution. And
right.
In most general societies, it's almost on the creational heart of people that marriage mm-hmm. should be a thing.
Right.
And, you know, the Roman Empire, you know, really tried to have an ideal of marriage in their pagan way, even though they did not live up to that by all means. They had all sorts of departures from it. But there was something. So, but in the Old Testament, we're beginning to see that, you know, your understanding of your sexuality changes from that pattern, the biblical mm-hmm. worldview of one man, one woman.
Right. Then incest.
You mean there's incest in the Bible? See, that's, I've heard that. There's,
right.
There's incest in the Bible?
Yeah, Genesis 19, verse 34 through 36. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went and lay with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father.
So what's the context of that story?
That's right after Sodom and Gomorrah, and they have fled from the city, and the Lot's wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. You know, so died, and they were the three who survived.
So we're in a cave.
So they're hiding in a cave, yes.
Now, I find it so interesting. It's not just the incest. It's how Lot, drunk on wine so quickly, would have sex with a woman, whether he would know it to be his daughter or not. Like, what fallen,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, okay.
That's a good point.
You know, there's a lot, I mean, mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, is that, I mean, I mean, I've underestimated the depth of fallen sexuality, but that story makes me realize that it's pretty in depth.
Mm-hmm.
This one has always interested me.
Wife sharing. Genesis 12, verses 17 through 19. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister?" so that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go.
So what's that story?
Well, there was a famine in the land, and so he goes to Egypt to so they can survive the famine. And then his wife was beautiful, so he told her to say she was his sister, and he would say the same. And
so Pharaoh really, he saw her puts beauty his and wife into prostitution so that he can think of his own selfish survival.
Yeah.
Well,
apparently
this is
one
of the patriarchs. They both agree to it. See, well, that's another thing. If they so, and I know it happens again, right?
Yeah,
with Abimelech or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but my question will go. Okay, so sexuality must be pretty fallen because it wasn't like they had a conference. We may not live. Here we have a plan. No, it's almost as if it's just, you say that, you do that, and she just agrees to it.
Mm-hmm.
So then that brings up the question, what else was happening even in the patriarchs? Now, again, they are justified by faith. We do see that.
Right.
And so,
because
again...
Because the fall has happened.
The
so
fall has happened.
Fallen.
God knows
everybody's
that
fallen.
Everybody's fallen.
Yeah.
So he's not going to make the social justice of sexual purity the road to salvation. He's going to redeem us from sexual
God's
impurity.
The one who
right. I understand
redeems
that.
And
but
uses
I just,
us. Yeah, no, but I'm, we're green.
Yeah. But Brandon, I'm saying this is as ministers, we need to have a clear theological understanding of how is this in the Bible and how is it that Abraham shared his wife. Now, again, we could talk about the extenuating circumstances, but the mocker will just go and say, well, Sharon's okay. I mean, Abraham shared his wife. You know, I mean, the mocker will, instead of but it was because they were survival. Well, so if I have financial difficulties and I say, hey, you know what? We're behind on our mortgage. You know what, dear? I know of a guy who wants to sleep with you, like Abraham. See, I mean, these are stories and things that comes out that this is, you know, we must be, as ministers, aware of these things.
Yes.
Or this one is really hard to
slave sexual relations. Genesis 16, verse 3. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife.
Okay, so what's that story about now?
Well, that Sarai has not been able to get pregnant, so she's thinking, give him the slave from
the Egypt after that whole wife sharing thing occurred.
It
now
just
we
goes
have
from
Egyptian.
Bad to worse, right?
Yeah.
No,
right.
So then she thinks, well, we got to make this. God's promised us an heir. Well, let's make this happen. You sleep with the slave instead of. Believing God for the promise for them.
Does it get any worse?
Visiting prostitutes. Genesis 38, verse 13. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep.
Then later on
in that same chapter, 15 and 16, when Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, come now, let me sleep with you. And what will you give me to sleep with you, she asked.
Again, I didn't want to put the whole passage there, but kind of, what is that about?
Well, he had the sons, the three sons, and the first dies, so then the second son marries
Tamar.
This is the daughter-in-law. And
then that's where Onan, that story comes in, right? Onan would not get her pregnant, so he would, like, his seed would go on
so
the ground.
So then he died.
He was punished.
Struck him down. And then, is there another brother after that, too, then? It happens...
I think
again,
so.
Yeah.
I think there's the husband and then two other brothers.
And so then the youngest brother...
I mean, this is Judah.
Shelah is too young. And so he says to her, you go home to your family, and when he's old enough, I'll give him to you. But he doesn't do it.
Yes.
And so she is now...
Getting older.
Getting older. She has nothing. She can't remarry. She can't, move on in any way, though. She's bound to them. And
right.
so... she takes things into her hands here.
And I, again, go back to, look at how Judah just, like, come sleep with me. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a question.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I really shouldn't be messing with prostitutes here.
Right.
But,
right.
And he really wanted her because he had no money, so he has to go and arrange a payment to be later.
Right, which is how then everything comes out, yeah.
Yes. And then how does that story end then? I mean,
well, she gets pregnant from him.
Right.
With twins.
Right.
And they're in line.
Right.
So
Jesus Christ.
She's in the line, yeah.
So, you know, in
so
the,
God
these,
is at work.
These are the stories where then I know ministry, because how many stories, how many children were born, quote, in an illegitimate way, that is out of marriage or through abuse, and we at Christian Leaders know it's a lot of you. And this story, yeah, the mocker can say, well, look at this story, that, you know, they weren't so perfect.
Yeah.
Their Judah is with the prostitutes and all that. But for God's purposes, she has twins, and one of those twins mm-hmm. is in the line of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, whatever, however you got to this earth, into your position, and yes, the ideal is one man, one woman in marriage. But whatever your situation is, God redeems. God has plans and purposes.
Yes.
And as ministers, we're always here encouraging that God is at work. We're not judging
right.
people. That's God's business. But God's business is also to redeem. So, mm-hmm. you know, and again, these are these questions. Like,
yes.
somebody will say to me, well, you know, you allow at Christian Leaders Institute and College, and Institute, we allow anyone to take classes, even if they don't agree with the exact marriage, understanding, worldview, sexuality, and all these other things. We say take classes. Why? Is because we don't know what God has a plan. We're not going to judge
right.
anybody.
No.
All we know is that God has a plan. And mm-hmm. in this case, out of a prostitute relationship, well, there was a lot of harm and injury doing here.
Well, right, when she's found pregnant, then they're going to kill
gonna
her. They're going to stone her because
yes.
she has committed
adultery
because she wasn't. And then when she says she sends Judah, his staff, and his other, I can't think of the name of the other items, to back to him and says, that I am
ring,
pregnant.
Ring
the ring, that's right, the signet ring. She says, I'm pregnant by the man who owns these, and he sees him and he goes, oh, she's more righteous than I am in this.
Exactly.
And so he takes her in then and
I sometimes her. I have observed, and Jesus had this in his ministry when they brought before the woman caught in adultery, and that's a very impactful scene, and it's fascinating how God uses most surprising people for ministry purposes.
Yes.
And he loves his children, and in this area, in this story, we see it's a powerful
yeah.
thing.
Yes.
Well, let's continue.
All right. All right. Fallen sexuality in the Old Testament Bible. Sexual intimacy and pleasure has a twisted history in the Old Testament. Many today laugh at the book of Leviticus, but it was needed. Abraham was willing to share his wife sexually twice. Isaac did it once. Lot's daughters sleep with their father, Judah with Tamar. Only Joseph showed some restraint, but that might have been because she was forbidden. The Israel populace was pretty sexually broken too. Old Testament. Many specifics are mentioned in Leviticus, laws that were transforming a nation of slaves into a people. These laws were very specific, and many of them are honored today in most places in the world as self-evident practices.
You know, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people look at the book of Leviticus, and again, they mock you know,
sadly,
Christianity because the book gets very specific. And it's written, God gives the law to the people of Israel who were freed up from Egypt. And we know from the study of history that Egypt was a highly sexed culture of all sorts of practices that that were outside of marriage and just some really strange practices. We know that. And so then the people of Israel are now slaves, and they're cultural, let's say cultural branding, like their practices and behaviors, were very fallen. And we can see that in the patriarchs have that, but then the people become slaves.
It just continues on.
It continues on.
So, a commentary on why Leviticus was needed. As we talked about earlier, that Judges 19, you want to go ahead and set the context?
Okay, so now this whole story, let's go back. This story of Judges is now after the people are brought into the Promised Land. They've conquested the land.
Right, so they've got the laws.
You have the laws and all of that. And the Leviticus was given.
Right.
Okay, so there was a way in which things were looked at. And then there's a story in the tribe of Benjamin where a Levite goes into a home, a Benjamin town. And this becomes like, well, let's just read what happens.
All right. So Judges 19, verse 25 through 30. But the men would not listen to him because they had asked if they could sleep with we had that passage earlier.
Oh, yeah. The passage was, first of all, they wanted to sleep with the guy. Yeah, they wanted to sleep with, that was a homosexual abuse.
Right, the homosexual abuse.
And then the man at the home said, no, no, no.
You can have Well, that's coming. So they wouldn't listen to him. He said, you don't want to do this, is what he says to them. And so then the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. No, this is the man who's the host, I think, isn't it?
No, it's the...
The Levite sends the concubine out? Okay, I missed that.
The man was going to offer his daughter or the Levite's concubine.
Okay.
Check it up yourself.
I'm kind of wanting to look right now.
Yeah, anyway.
I love to understand these stories.
Yes.
Okay. So, anyways, the man
this
took his concubine
editor.
And sent.
This is my editor. I get to be married to not only my lover and best friend, but my editor. And CL, I would not be here today, in my opinion, if God hadn't brought us together. So, I just love the whole thing. It's just amazing. Okay. So, let's get back to the story.
So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them, and they raped her and abused her throughout the night, and at dawn they let her go. At daybreak, the woman went back to the house where her master was staying, fell down at the door, and lay there until daylight. When her master got up in the morning and opened the door of the house and stepped out to continue on his way, there lay his concubine, fallen in the doorway of the house, with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up, let's go," but there was no answer. Then the man put her on his donkey and set out for home. When he reached home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine limb by limb into 12 parts and sent them into all the areas of Israel. Everyone who saw it said, "Such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the days the Israelites came up out of Egypt." Think about it. Consider it. Tell us what to do.
So, terrible thing, and you can read the story on your own. I believe you should read the story on your own.
And, yes, I see what you're saying about it was Levites.
Okay, so, but notice, every once in a while, okay, so notice too that the pointing was since the days that the people came out of Egypt.
Right.
So the people of Israel were in a bad way
when they were
redeemed out of Israel. Mm-hmm. And what helped them get into a better way was the giving of the law.
Right.
So, it was Leviticus.
The book of Leviticus outlines laws in the context of those ancient peoples. Most of the laws completely make sense. The trend is to default to more and more wickedness.
Okay, so let's just go over... And I believe we ought to, in ministry purposes, condemn practices in Leviticus.
With an animal. Leviticus 18, verse 23. Do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. And a woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. With your stepmother. Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife, that you would dishonor your father. with siblings or step-siblings. Do not have sexual relations with your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in the same home or elsewhere. And these are from Leviticus 18.
Yes.
Child abuse, Leviticus 18:10. Do not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would dishonor you. Close family relations. Do not have sexual relations with your father's sister. She is your father's close relative. Do not have sexual relations with your mother's sister because she is your mother's close relative. Family incest. Do not dishonor your father by having sexual relations with your mother. She is your mother. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Do not have relations with her. Do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife. That would dishonor your brother. Do not have sexual relations with both a woman and her daughter. Do not have sexual relations with either her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are her close relatives. That is wickedness. Leviticus 20, verse 18. If a man lies with a woman during her monthly period and has sexual relations with her, he has exposed the source of her flow and has also uncovered it. Both of them must be cut off from their people.
Now, the last one I threw in there a little extra because the Leviticus laws really brought a cleanliness and health. It wasn't just like the laws about sexual relations. And some people will say, well, in Leviticus, we don't listen to Leviticus because
there's a lot more.
Yeah, and there are a lot
this
more.
This is only, yeah.
Yes.
Leviticus is a larger book than what we
yes.
are.
You know, it is. I mean, we can just go a few more here. Here's another one.
Male homosexuality. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Do not have adultery. Do not have sexual relations with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her.
And, you know, so what we have here is really in Leviticus, and we went over the list, and there is, by the way, a lot more ways to describe it. We were both commenting on that when we were looking at this.
Yes.
And going back to that one passage where not since the days the people of Israel came out of Egypt were things done like this.
Right.
And then in Leviticus, we're seeing the things that are done like this. And what I find fascinating is that the people of Israel had become very worldly. They had no concept of God whatsoever.
Right.
And when you have no concept of God whatsoever, what starts happening is what we're seeing in this world today. So what we're seeing is sort of incredible strange things, and much of pornography is getting into all these weird scenarios and all of that mm-hmm. you see that, you know, without Jesus Christ, there's no end to where sexual perversion can go and sexual immorality.
Right.
So, as a minister, so now you've just had to endure all of this. Why? Well, because God will save people out of all of these things and transform them. And when people point and mock the Old Testament and all of that stuff, you know, what's the ministry response? The ministry response is, yeah. And they'll be like, and I have shared this many times now in evangelism because that's a common thing. They're like, well, you know, in Leviticus, it talks about women's periods. I go, yeah. You know, like, you said, yeah? Yeah. I mean, their goal was they had cleanliness laws and all of these things. And actually, the period thing even goes before. That was early culture. That's a cultural thing. That's one thing that went to the book of Genesis, where I think it was it Rachel hiding her idols or whatever?
Right.
Yeah, and so then she uses the excuse
because
she's having her period. You know, it comes off a little lame to, like, I'm gonna say hidden in the bushes from God because of this. Or, you know, what happens in the Old Testament talks about incest and, you know, were the people of Israel engaged in it? Yeah, they sure were. And that's why the law was given. And these laws still are self-evident today. Now, there's debate about homosexuality right now, and I understand that, and we're not here to solve all of those issues. But we do see that was not one man, one woman, and that is the Christian brand, and we're not going to run away from it.
Right.
You know, and we want to be really clear. Some of you have come to your sexual journey abused to the point where homosexuality is an option that you have taken on your life. And we are not going to judge you on anything, but we know that in Jesus Christ, the worldview of one man, one woman sexuality is the design. Yep. So, you know, we want to say to everyone that God has a plan for you in this very difficult subject. So, in ministry, wrap it all up. We could go on to more of the Old Testament. There are actually more passages that you probably ought to know, like the whole story of David and Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalm 51, David confesses his sexual sin in adultery.
Yeah.
We mentioned in a previous class to read all about Jonadab, and in the case of Jonadab, he got Ammon to sleep with his half-sister.
Right.
So incest. They were far away from the Levitical laws. We also know that God, in sort of a very interesting twist of things, asks Hosea to take on a prostitute named Gomer as his wife,
mm-hmm.
which seems to just be very confusing. Like, you know, everything that's happening in the Old Testament, and then a whole prophet is asked to marry a prostitute, mm-hmm. who, and this prostitute was not like a willing candidate to be saved out of her prostitution.
Right.
And yet, that's all in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And so God works with people where they're at and has a better plan that brings us back to the pre-fall understanding of our sexuality and marriage worldview. So, we could get into it, but this lecture would go on.
Yeah, it was like we could go into the whole why he married Gomer, which was to kind of show how God felt about his relationship with Israel.
Yes.
Because they were like the prostitute. They kept whoring after other nations, as it's been called in the scriptures. And so...
Right.
And, yeah.
So but you see, the mockers will say, they won't get to the part you just shared.
Right.
They'll just say, look at that.
Right. And why would God make him do that?
But that's where to know the book of Hosea is about, this is how, you know, things happen. So now you've seen the Old Testament. Next, we're going to talk about the New Testament take on human sexuality and sexual intimacy.